Several years ago, I went to see my doctor, and we were just talking at the beginning of my appointment, and he's a Christian, and he knows a lot about me, and he asked me what I was doing at church, and I told him that I was in the middle of teaching a series of Sunday school lessons, and he asked me what I was teaching on, and I said, well, I was doing a series of lessons called How to Live Without Fear, and he said, well, what idiot wrote that lesson? And I said, well, I did. Anyway, he did go on to say, you know, I'm trying to recover, because I'm sure he was as embarrassed as I should have been. But he said, you know, I believe in living with courage in spite of fear, but I'm not sure we can live without fear. Well, is it possible to live without fear? I think yes, but probably not likely for us as humans. But we ought to at least be moving in that direction. Do I live without fear? Absolutely not. I probably have more phobias than most. I am claustrophobic. I can't do MRIs without drugs, and I take the stairs instead of the elevators, except this week I was on the 11th floor at a hotel, and I went in the elevator with Jesus with me. All the way up to the 11th floor by myself and down. So anyway, I'm afraid of heights. I hate to fly. I have panic attacks when I have to drive on I-75, and the list goes on and on. But having said all that, I believe that God is teaching me how to live without fear. I haven't decided that it's hopeless, and I want to share with you why this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can open them or you can read from the PowerPoint with me from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 40. It says, on that day when evening came, he, Jesus, said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat. This is the disciples and Jesus are in a boat, just as he was. And other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Why are you afraid? A few months ago, I went to see my doctor. Yes, the same one. We're still on speaking terms. And I told him that I had so much anxiety, and it just seemed to be getting worse. Now, I do believe that hormones play a role in our brain chemistry, and that sometimes our fears are problems with our brains and how we are perceiving things. I have always had a fear of heights. Even at 3 years old, my mom and dad tell me that they drug me across the swinging bridge at Rock City on my hands and knees, because I was terrified. How many of you have been on the swinging bridge at Rock City? I went there a few years ago with the family and was not thinking about my experience as a three-year-old because I really don't remember it. But we are walking, and there's just this throng of people, and we're all walking across there, and I don't realize it until I'm out on that bridge, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. And I turned around, and there was all these people behind me, and I would have, even now, have turned around and run off that bridge, and I wanted to get down on my hands and knees and crawl, but I feared that would embarrass my children. So I managed to make it across, but I'm still terrified of that bridge. And, you know, I don't know why. I didn't have any experiences with falling off of bridges or anything like that that would have scared me. For some reason, my brain just perceives that heights are a danger. And I can't even watch. Steve and Sally used to get up on the roof of our house when we lived in the really wooded lot in Jonesboro. And every week they would get up there. And Anna, yes, and Anna. Steve and Sally and Anna would get up there and walk on the roof and blow the leaves off. And I couldn't even watch them. I had to stay in the house because the thought that my children were up on the roof, forget about my husband, but no, my children were up on the roof was terrifying to me. I don't know how people do that. But if you have any of this stuff, you understand what I'm talking about. How many of you have any of this stuff? You understand that feeling that I'm talking about that you have no control over. It just terrifies you. You know, I used to not even be able to walk over iron grates, you know, in the road or out on piers. I'm able to do that to a certain extent now. But so in all this, what I'm saying is don't hear me minimizing your fears this morning or saying that you should just get over them. Okay? Because that's not what I'm saying. If you think you hear me say that, I didn't say that. That's not what I meant anyway. Okay? I know that last week Paul said that we should be short, direct, and offensive, but I am not here to offend you about your fears this morning. I'm here to offer what I believe is God's perspective on our fear and maybe help some of you that struggle in this area, which is probably all of us, really. At some time, we have fears that we don't know what to do with. Anyway, when I went to see my doctor, he told me that that was no way to live with all of that anxiety. And so he did what people do today. He prescribed me an anti-anxiety pill. Well, I went home and I prayed about it because I really don't like medication. That's another one of my fears. I watched my firstborn son die as a medication went into his IV and he immediately quit breathing. So you understand my fear of medication, because sometimes it's not the right medication, okay? And sometimes the side effects of medication are worse than whatever it was you had to begin with. I mean, y'all all hear those commercials about that. So I just began to pray about it. And as I was praying, I really believe Jesus said to me, "Your problem is that you don't believe me." Yes, the fear is real, but your real root problem, Sandra, is that you don't believe me. You don't trust me. And that shook me up because I've been a Christian for many, many years. And when Jesus tells you, "You don't believe me," it's like, oh, okay. So I begin to seek out why I was afraid and asking God to search me and expose the unbelief in me and help me to believe. When you see Jesus asking his disciples why they are afraid, you immediately see him relating it to their faith. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? Let's look at the story of Peter walking on the water in Matthew 14, verses 28 through 31. You know the story, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But Jesus is out there walking on the water. They see him, and Peter says to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water, and he came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 30, in a section on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying to the people, he says, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Why are you afraid? Why do you doubt? Because this world is scary and we're not in control. Because we have the internet and so much knowledge that we can't contain it all. We hear about every disease, every accident, everything that could possibly go wrong. Or be wrong. Every advertisement seems to expose something that we don't have or that we might have. And we need to do something about it, because if we don't, we will be lacking or die. I mean, how many of you listen to the radio and you hear that advertisement for virtual imaging, where you can go downtown and you can have a heart scan and see if you're going to have a heart attack in the next 24 hours? I mean, I was thinking as I heard that this week and as I heard the advertisement for Lifeline, is that what it's called, where they come to your town and they do all the five different tests and all that, I thought, no wonder we're terrified. Because everywhere we turn, there's somebody telling us that something silent and deadly is, you know, just in us and we don't know it. And so we're scared to death. That there's something that we don't know that's going to happen. And there's nothing we can do about it. So we need to go do all these things. And that's how these advertisers, they hook us. They get us to go and check it out. You know, maybe we need to go check it out, but let's check it out with God first. And say, am I acting on fear, or is this something that you know I need to do? So I'm not dissing those things. I'm not saying they're bad things. I'm just saying that don't live in fear and succumb to the advertisement unless God has told you, I need you to go do this. And I believe God can do that if we are walking with Him. God knows all that about everything, and He understands, and He never tries to minimize all the things around us that have the potential to scare us to death and cause us to worry. What He does do is He points us to Himself and He says, why don't you believe me? Why don't you trust me? Basically, as I begin to think about it and pray about it and answer the question, Sandra, why are you afraid? The answer was that I was afraid something was going to happen to me that I couldn't control. And bottom line was, I didn't really believe that God was going to be enough for me. Now, that's hard for us to admit because we like to think that we have faith. But do we? Do we? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says, since the children shared in flesh and blood, he, Jesus himself, likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He sent Jesus so that we wouldn't be afraid. He sent Jesus to rescue us from the fear of death so that we wouldn't be slaves all of our lives. Because whatever we are afraid of, we are a slave to. Let's say that again. Whatever we are afraid of, we are a slave to. Think about your fears. Do you realize they hold you captive? That there are places you won't go, things you won't do, peace you can't have, joy you can't experience because you are a slave to fear. And Jesus looks at each one of us and he says, why are you afraid? Jesus said, don't fear those that can kill the body, but fear him who has the power to throw both body and soul into hell. In other words, fear God and nothing and no one else. God knows that we are prone to fear. He says constantly throughout Scripture, don't be afraid. Fear not. Every time an angel appeared to someone, their first words were, fear not. Because God knows that when we tend to be afraid of huge things that we see that we don't understand, like angels and like cancer. And I could name many other things. He understands. So what do we do? How do we live without fear? Or how do we move in that direction? Well, I want to offer some suggestions from Scripture and from my own walk with God this morning that I hope will benefit those of you that are struggling in this area. First of all, answer the question Jesus asked. Why are you afraid? Be honest with God and with yourself. Get to the root of the problem. And this will take humility. It will take vulnerability. If you need to see a counselor or a trusted friend or whatever, seek them out. But don't just say, I have all these fears, and think that's the way you have to live, because that is a lie from the lips of the devil. If we believe what we say we believe, if we believe the Word of God, if we are here this morning because we believe God, then to say, I have all these fears, and this is just the way I am, and it's the way I'm going to be until I die, and I'll be set free in heaven, that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to set us free. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to see Him set us free. Number two, we need to face our fears and don't nurse them. I have found that when I nurse my fears, they just get stronger. And isn't that what a nurse is supposed to do? Make you stronger, help you to be stronger, to nurse you back to health. Well, if we nurse our fears, we are just making them healthier, and not in a good way. When I give in to my fears and stop trying to do the things that make me feel afraid, I am the one that loses. I'm afraid of elevators. I may have told y'all this before, other than this morning, but we were in California a few years ago, and we were staying in like the 23rd floor, and me and Sally and Ann and Steve all get on the elevator, and about 100 people get on with us. Well, I'm in the, not 100 really, but it felt like 100. I'm in the back of the elevator. Well, I don't say a word to anybody. I just walk right off. And I'm just standing in the lobby by myself. Well, I got the key. And so Steve and Sally and Anna get up to the 23rd floor, and Steve looks at them. He says, where's your mom? I mean, he was kind of irritated, I think. And they just look at him and go, she got off. I couldn't help it. And if you are claustrophobic, you know what I'm talking about. I went to have an MRI. The lady asked me, she said, are you claustrophobic? I said, no. I didn't know I was. She says, okay, well, lay down on this thing. She put me in there, and I said, get me out. Get me out now. And, y'all, I'm pretty unassertive. I will endure a lot without saying anything just to not make a scene. I know y'all don't know this, but I am shy and quiet and reserved and unassertive. So when I yelled at that lady to get me out, I meant get me out now. She pulled me out and she said, you are claustrophobic. She said, you need to call your doctor and get him to prescribe you some Valium or something, and then call back and make the appointment and come do this again. Well, I walked out of there. Steve's in the waiting room, and I just walked out the front door, and he follows me. He says, well, that was quick. I said, I couldn't do it. He said, well, what happened? And I said, well, she told me to go call the doctor and get something and call back and make the appointment, but I'd have to be on Xanax to make an appointment for that. I mean, that's how terrifying it was to me. I don't know why. You know, this is not something I chose. I don't know why. But I know that if I said, okay, I can never get in an elevator again, so I'm going to protect myself and not do anything that requires me to get in an elevator, I am the one that loses. I am the slave to fear. Okay? So what I'm saying this morning is we don't nurse our fears. I go back to the elevator and I say, okay, God, I'm going. And sometimes I go and sometimes I say, oops, going to take the stairs. And I do. I take the stairs if it's walkable. But 11 floors I didn't think was walkable. Plus, I was going to be embarrassed to ask where the stairs were. I didn't know. But anyway, Jesus came to set us free. And I believe that God wants to help us deal with our fears. In fact, I think he wants to deliver us from all of our fears. But we will never be delivered from our fears if we nurse our fears. When I say be honest and acknowledge our fears, I don't mean to make them comfortable. Fear needs to know that it is not welcome. But neither, and hear this, neither do I want you to think that I'm saying beat yourself up about it if you're struggling with it. Because I'm not saying that at all. Acknowledge that you have fears with God. Get to the root of the problem. Pray about it. Claim scriptures like, I cried to the Lord and he delivered me from all my fears. If today I had a meltdown and I went to the doctor and I said, you got to give me something to help me. I cannot deal with this. I wouldn't beat myself up about it, okay? I would just say, okay, Jesus, I need help. Can we start over again? And I would say, why am I afraid? Help me get to the root of the problem and help me to believe you and to trust you. Sometimes, like Peter, when he was sinking in that water, we just look at the Lord and say, rebuke me if you have to, but save me still. When I went to the doctor, I was in a state where I was terrified to drive on I-75. I know it's crazy to some of y'all. Some of y'all are out there being like, I don't even know what she's talking about. But there's some of you in here that know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've ever had a panic attack and you don't know where they come from, I have not always had that. It's just been in the last few years. But it's an awful feeling. And when if you've ever been driving down 75 and you have a panic attack, the thought of doing it again and it happening again is like, I'll do anything to avoid that. But I don't want to live that kind of life. I don't want to be that person that cannot drive, that cannot get on elevators. So I'm with everything in me. I'm going to the Lord and I'm saying, deliver me from all of my fears. So after Jesus told me that my problem was I didn't trust him, not that I didn't trust him to drive necessarily, but that I was just walking in fear, that he wasn't going to come through for me, that something had happened to me that he wasn't in control of, really that I wasn't in control of. After that, I began to pray the scriptures. I surrendered my unbelief to the Lord. I told the devil to get behind me. I continued to get in my car and drive and just trust the Lord, whatever may come. And I'm not bragging. Trust me, I'm not bragging because I don't understand all this, and I know that it could happen to me at any time, but what I can tell you is I have not had one of those since then, and I have driven a lot on I-75. And what Jesus is teaching me is that when you trust me, I am with you. I am going to see you through. And if I had another one, it would be okay, because I know that Jesus is still going to be with me, and he's going to help me get through it. Do you see what I'm saying? And that's what believing in Jesus is all about, isn't it? I don't want to be one of those people that have a form of religion and deny its power. I want to believe him, to really believe what he says. I want to trust him. I want to go out on a limb and see him move in response to my faith. But it won't happen if in my fear I just play it safe. I want to pray for people to be healed. I don't have a lot of faith in this area because it seems like nobody I pray for gets healed. You know, and I know there are gifts of healing, and not everybody has gifts of healing. But I still want to pray for the sick. And I keep praying, even when I look like a fool, because one thing I'm sure of, if I don't pray, if I don't believe he can do it, he won't. And he showed us that when he walked the earth, that he couldn't do many mighty things in a town because of their unbelief. And so even if it doesn't happen the way you want it to, when you pray and you believe you're praying in faith, you keep praying, because isn't that what the Bible says to do? It says to keep praying. You know, and lately I've been thinking that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, right? Isn't that what the scripture says? And we say we believe this, right? Do we believe it? If he is, then he can heal and he can deliver and he can save and he can restore and he can do all the things that he did when he walked on the earth, and he can do it right now. So I'm going to keep asking and knocking and seeking. I want to be that woman that wears out heaven with her pleading. I don't want to get discouraged just because it didn't happen the first time or the second time or the third time. I want to be annoying. And you're thinking, you are. We don't nurse our fears. We fight them with faith. We choose to believe God. We don't say, this is the way I am and I always will be. No, absolutely not. But we can't fight with faith. We can't fight with faith if we don't, number three, get into God's Word. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. Faith is not something we have because we grit our teeth and determine that we're going to have it. How many of you, like me, have ever done that before? I'm just going to believe this. I'm just going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. It doesn't work. I've tried it for many, many years. It doesn't work. Because that's not where faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Over and over, you come to church and you hear the Word of God. You read biographies of people that have known God and seen God move mightily through His Word. Your faith grows by reading the Word, by studying the Word, by meditating on the Word, because as we do that, we come to know the God of the Word, because the Word is the revelation of Himself to us. We come to know who He is and what He is like. Learning to trust Jesus is a day-by-day thing, and some days we do better than others. The key is to continue seeking Him through His Word. And that's why Jesus said to Martha, remember the story of Mary and Martha? Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And what is the good part? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to His Word. That's the one thing. If you're missing something in your life, it's because you're missing the one thing. I remember reading one time that a man came up to Mother Teresa and just talked to her about how he was struggling with his faith and all this kind of stuff. And I don't even remember what all he said, but she looked at him and she said, spend an hour a day looking into the face of Jesus and you'll be fine. Jesus also said in John 15:7-8, He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. What better way to glorify Jesus than by living a life without fear in this crazy, scary world? Right now, I want you to just think about your fears or your temptations to fear. And let me ask you some questions that I believe Jesus would ask all of us when we are tempted to fear. You can close your eyes. This is not some kind of meditative weird kind of practice or anything. Just if you want to close your eyes and it helps you to focus, I just want you to think and be honest about it. Do you believe me? Jesus would say, do you believe me? Then why are you afraid? Do you believe that I am with you always? Then why are you afraid of being alone on an elevator? Do you believe that I am good? then why are you afraid I'll do something bad to you? Do you believe that my plans for you are good? Then why are you afraid of your future? Do you believe that I care for you, as the Amplified Bible defines it, with deepest affection and watch over you very carefully? Then why are you afraid that I don't see the things that you care about? Do you believe that I am sovereign over everything and that no one can touch you without my permission and that I would only allow you to suffer in order to do you good in the end? Then why are you afraid? Do you believe that if you die, you are just entering into my presence in a place more wonderful and beautiful than anything you can imagine, prepared especially for you? Then why are you afraid? Do you believe that I have all power and that nothing is too difficult for me? Then why are you afraid I can't handle what needs doing in your life? Do you believe that I love your children more than you do? Then why are you afraid I'll lose them? Do you believe that I hear and answer your prayers when you pray in faith? Then why are you afraid I'm ignoring you? Do you believe that I am pleased with you when you seek me and believe that I am? Then why are you afraid I don't like you? Do you believe that I am able to conform you to the image of my Son? Then why are you afraid you'll never be good enough? Do you believe that my understanding is infinite and that I know your frame, that you are but dust, and that my expectations of you are not what you think, that my yoke is easy and my burden is light? Then why are you afraid that you constantly let me down? Do you believe that I love you so much that I gave my only Son for you? Then why are you afraid that with him I won't give you all things? I've decided that most of our fears stem from about four things. We don't really believe God is good. Or we don't really believe that he loves us. Or we don't really believe that he can. Or we want to be in control and we don't want to surrender. So basically, our struggles, our fears stem from the fact that we struggle to believe that God is all that he says that he is. Nursing and fighting our fears is the wrong battle. Our fight is for faith. Our fight is to believe God. Next time you find yourself afraid, ask the question, why am I afraid? And ask God to show you the root of your fear. And then get into his word and hear him comfort and encourage you to believe him. Just this week I was reading Isaiah 41:10. It says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Do you see who is doing it all in this verse? Are you anxiously looking about you for the answers to your fears? Jesus says, "Look at me. I will do it." So let's just commit to trust him and quit trying to figure it out and ask him to deliver us from all our fears. And kind of like something I read to you a few months ago, and when we aren't looking, we will find that he has. I want us to have a time of prayer for anybody that's struggling this morning with fear, with illness, with whatever. And I want to ask the elders or anybody that wants to come up and pray. And let's just pray for each other. Okay? Because, I mean, the Bible says the prayer of faith will heal, right? So let's do it. Let's do it. And if it doesn't do it the first time, let's do it again. Let's take God at his word and believe what he says, because he says that he is pleased with us when we believe him. Let's pray. So I invite you to come if you want prayer. Father, we just lift up Susan Soto to you. And Lord, we know that you have done an awesome work in her life, that you have been gracious, you have been faithful, and you have brought a great deal of healing. But Lord, we pray for even more healing. Jesus, we want to see you glorified, and we want you to be honored, and we want to prove that we are your disciples, that we really do believe you. And you say that those who believe in you, that these signs shall follow them, that they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And so, Lord, we lay our hands upon Susan Soto, and we just pray in faith in your name, Jesus, that you would heal her completely, that you would comfort and encourage her, that you would bless her, and that you would be glorified in her life. And Lord, I thank you for her and for her faith in you. I pray that her times with you would be just precious and blessed. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we want to see you move. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey.
This Mother's Day, we had bought an RV and it was boat it. So just Wednesday, our daughter, in the hospital after surgery.
You had a wreck in the arm?
Propane stove blew up.
Oh my word.
So we stayed right down the street. I didn't really get up in enough time to bring the whole family.
What's your name?
Emmanuel.
Emmanuel. Yes, ma'am. Can I tell everybody? Yes. What was your daughter's name?
Cortland.
Yes. Y'all, this is Emmanuel, and he came from down the street this morning to visit with us. And this last week, they had bought an RV, and the propane tank exploded, and his 1-year-old daughter was killed. And so we want to pray for him this morning, okay, his family. Father, we just lift up Emmanuel to you, and we know that you love him and that you care for him. And Lord, I just pray for your healing in this family. God, you know. Jesus, just as you wept at the tomb of Lazarus, you are weeping with Emmanuel even now. And I pray, Lord, that he knows your comfort and your encouragement. And Lord, I pray that you will take this tragedy in his and his family's life and that you will use it for your glory and for their good. And that they will know that Cortland is with you, that she is safe at home with you. And one day they will see her again. That this life is not the end. This is not the end of the story. That you are alive and you have promised us that you have gone before to prepare a place for us. And we believe you. Lord, I pray for his family. I pray that you would comfort and encourage, Lord, like only you can, and that you would turn their hearts to you, that they would seek after you, and that they would just find comfort in your presence. Lord, that you would do great and awesome things. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Anybody else want prayer? You come. Yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Well, Father, we thank you that you are a good God. God, this world is so hard. Life is so hard. And Lord, sometimes you ask us to face the impossible. But Lord, the good news is that you never ask us to face it alone. That even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, but because you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. And Lord, you yourself prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And you anoint our head with oil, and our cup overflows. And Lord, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And we shall dwell in your house forever. Lord, we have that promise and we thank you. Amen and amen.